This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sianne Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
Hello, my name is Christina Odone, and I'm the Director of Communications here at the Legarten Institute, where today we had an amazing lunch, and our keynote speaker at the lunch was Dan Hannan, MEP. Dan, one of the interesting issues that you raised at the lunch was the importance of Magna Carta, 800 years in June, since those barons and King John were standing at Runnymede, signing possibly one of the most important documents that our civilization has ever produced. Tell me about how you see Magna Carta.
I think that's fair. It is the most important document. I'd say it's the most important bargain ever struck in the history of the human race. Pitt the Elder had a nice phrase for it. He said it's the Bible of the English-speaking peoples, or the Bible of the English peoples, but of course in those days that covered pretty much the whole Anglosphere. And I think that's a pretty good way of putting it. It's the Torah of the English-speaking peoples. That is to say, it's the text that sets us apart, but at the same time, a text that speaks universal truths to all humanity. You know, there are times when only superlatives will do, and I think this is one of them. Lord Denning said it is the greatest constitutional document of all time, the supreme defense of the liberty of the individual against the arbitrary authority of the despot. And what he meant by that is that from then onwards, the government didn't get to make up the rules as it went along. These days, that sounds like such an obvious, banal, almost platitudinous thing to say. And it takes a real effort of the imagination to think how radical that idea must have been on that reedy stretch of riverbank, this idea that above the king himself was this force that you couldn't see or hear or touch or taste, but that bound the monarch as surely as it bound his meanest subject. And all of the things that we now take for granted, regular elections and habeas corpus and equality between men and women and uncensored newspapers and jury trials, these are not the natural condition of an advanced society. These were precepts that were overwhelmingly developed in the language that you and I are now speaking, and they had their birth at Runnymede 800 years ago.
You are the MP in whose constituency lies Runnymede. And I know that you want to mark the spot where the great signing took place. And I'm just wondering, as you talk about your campaign to celebrate the Magna Carta, what kind of a reaction are you getting from the people in your constituency?
Yes, I mean, the incredible thing is that this is, as close, if you had to pick a spot somewhere on the planet where freedom was born, I can't think of a better candidate, right? And yet, it went wholly unmarked until 1956, when a memorial stone was finally raised there by the American Bar Association. So up until now, there has never been a proper monument raised by a British organization. And as you say, I'm involved in having a permanent memorial there to mark the 800th anniversary. Not, by the way, because we can add anything to Magna Carta, right? But we can show that we cared about it.
Yes.
What was it that inspired the builder of a medieval cathedral, to embark on this project that he knew he wouldn't see completed, that his grandson might see completed if he was like, he didn't think that he was magnifying God by putting stones together. He was showing that he cared, and he was showing the extent to which his people, his generation, understood their place in the universe. And it's a small thing, but I would like 800 years from now for people to look back and say, in the year 2015, they knew and they understood that this was something that elevated and ennobled the human race. We have four surviving copies of my four surviving originals. We have lots of near originals, but there were four absolutely contemporary charters. Two are in the British Library. One is at Salisbury Cathedral, and one at Lincoln Cathedral. And actually, they were gathered not far from here at the British Library for the first time in 800 years. Somebody photographed me drooling over them and put it up on Twitter saying, Will Dan Hannan be like Sauron with the rings if he gets his hands on all four copies? But of course, the whole point of Magna Carta is it's a prophylactic against Saurons. It's kept us free when other countries fell to autocracy. That Lincoln Cathedral copy had just come back from the US. It had been on a big tour, and it wasn't its first visit to the United States. It was exhibited in 1939 in New York at the World Fair. And an incredible 13 million Americans crushed in to look at it. The Second World War broke out while it was still on display, and it was moved to Fort Knox for safekeeping.
For safekeeping, yes, I do remember the story.
Is there an apt symbol imaginable of what the English-speaking peoples were fighting for in that conflict, namely a system where the individual is elevated above the collective and where the rules are elevated above the rulers.
Thank you so much for your passionate defense of one of our most important documents. And thank you very much for coming to the Legatum Institute today.
Thank you, Christina.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.